Welcome to WRFG Atlanta, 89.3 FM on your dial. Next up, Alternative Perspectives, Atlanta's only queer radio hour. Hold on tight.
This program is brought to you in part by Kenny Kent's LLC Home Repair and Handyman Service. Rocco's Pub in Jasper, Georgia presents contemporary blues artist Mike Zito, 8 p.m. Thursday, June 10th. Rocco's Pub is located 47 Mountainside Village Parkway in Jasper, Georgia. Tickets are available online at rockosjasper.com. That's R-O-C-C-O-S jasper.com. Sponsored by Kenny Can LLC Home Repair and Handyman Service. For more information, 706-253-1900.
All right. And thank you so much for joining us. You are listening to WRFG Atlanta 89.3 FM. It's actually WRFG. Yeah, that's it. Atlanta. I always get confused on where to say the word Atlanta. Anyway, you are again listening to Alternative Perspectives. This is Atlanta's only local radio hour devoted exclusively to issues affecting Atlanta's queer community. I'm, of course, your host, Greg Bossen, and thank you so much for listening. As always, the opinions expressed here are those of myself and my guests and do not necessarily represent the views of WRFG, its employers, board, volunteers, funders, or even listeners. So, but before I get into tonight's show, I do this from time to time, I really want to talk about where the COVID stats are here in Georgia, because it's nice. We finally have good news. So, and it actually has been trending down over the last, I would say, 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's really, really going down. So our 7-day average, so this is new cases recorded in the state of Georgia, the average for the last 7 days is 358 cases. So that is incredible. Because, let's see, even on May 2nd, which is just a little more than a month ago, the 7-day average was 1,261. So that is a massive drop, and certainly a drop over what we were at the beginning of the year, which was the 7-day average was close to 10,000 new cases a day here in Georgia. So we'll see what happens. We had the holiday weekend, and we'll see. I would expect to see a little bit of a spike, but very excited to hear that these numbers are going down. Although we still only have, I'd say, around 30% of the state of Georgia has been fully vaccinated. So I would really like to see that number increase, although I don't know, there's a good chunk of the population, particularly when you get outside of Atlanta and go into South Georgia and North Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene's district up there, and I think it's Dalton. Those people are not getting tested, are not getting vaccinated under any way, shape, or form. I may have been using the word tested when I mean vaccinations. but anyway, so I'm very happy about that. So that's the first thing that I just kind of wanted to start with. All right. So tonight's show. So there, you know, as you know, at the beginning of each show, I do a little bit of news, and we spend about 15, 20 minutes on that. But there's so much news that's happening all around the world that I don't feel like I ever get a chance to get to all of the things that I want people in the community to know about and that we should know about. So this show is going to be devoted to news around the world. So we're going to be going to Australia. We're going to be going to Bangladesh. We're going to be going to Japan to see what's going on around the world when it comes to the news. But before we do that, we want to start locally. So with that,
news of the queer.
I know that's right.
Oh, no, she didn't say what.
I really have to change that. It's getting old. But anyway, all right. So first, we're going to start in good old Atlanta. And this is actually a bit of promising news. This is coming out of the mayor's office. So the city is planning on rebranding over 100 City of Atlanta restrooms as gender neutral. So Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, who is not running for re-election, by the way, is converting more than 100 single-occupancy restrooms in city facilities. So these are single-occupancy bathrooms. And basically what she is doing is she's going to be changing these to gender-neutral bathrooms, which basically, I mean, sounds like it's just changing the signage. Bottoms will sign an administrative order later this month directing the Department of Enterprise Assets Management to change the signage for 113 restrooms located at City Hall, the airport, and several other facilities by June the 28th. And that is the 52nd anniversary of the Stonewall riot. So obviously this is something that's being done this month because, as hopefully you are aware, June is Pride Month all over the world, although Pride for us doesn't happen until November. But but anyway, I think that that's really neat. And, you know, a lot of people would say, well, you know, this isn't really that big of a deal. We're just simply changing signage. And I agree. I think the whole thing is going to cost about $20,000. Of course, there's a number of people that would think that that might say that the money might be better used doing other things. But I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but whenever I go to a public space and I go to a bathroom and it says it's all inclusive or gender neutral, I don't know. It just makes me feel good inside. It makes me feel proud of the city that I'm in when I see it here in Atlanta, because I think that's cool. I first started seeing that in Portland, Oregon a few years ago, but it's kind of neat that it's happening in new spaces around the city. So I think that that is cool. Let's see. The updated signage on the single occupancy restrooms will read, "Anyone can use this restroom regardless of gender identity or expression." Now, how cool is that? Of course, it's going to piss off some of the more conservative people that are in City Hall, but and at the airport, but they'll just have to get over it. But I think it's an important statement to make. I like the fact that it'll be in the airport because people from all over the world will see that Atlanta is a city that is more welcoming than perhaps the rest of the state. Let's see. The designation of single occupancy restrooms for use by everyone, regardless of gender, will provide safe spaces for transgender and gender nonconforming residents that may reduce the wait times for everyone. And in general, I agree. I don't understand why any bathrooms that are single occupancy should be labeled one gender or the other. And I don't know about you, but if I'm at a restaurant and I go to the bathroom and the men's room is occupied and the women's room's not, and it's a single occupancy, I go in the ladies' room. I am perfectly fine with that. So good news. Thank you, Mayor Bottoms. Not necessarily doing very well with the crime in this city, but here's a bit of good news that she is putting out there before she leaves. So good for her. We'll give her a little... There we go. Good for her. All right. Next up, we have a new gay bar, folks, in Atlanta. The bar, which is set to open, actually, I think their opening was this past week, is called Future. And this is a two-story, 14,000-square-foot dance club, cabaret, and restaurant in downtown Atlanta. Future opened on June the 4th. It's at the corner of Lower Alabama Street and Pryor Street in underground Atlanta. Acclaimed DJs, after-hour parties, and drag shows will pack an opening weekend schedule. This was this past weekend. That the owners hope will become signature events for the multi-level venue. That's gutsy there. A 14,000 square foot venue. That's old Backstreet size. Keith Young looks forward to showing LGBTQ Atlanta what he and co-owner Hoosh Mishu started working on more than 2 years ago. The coronavirus pandemic waylaid their efforts, right? The anticipation that we've had probably doesn't compare to what everyone else feels with having something new to do. Opening night, which was again on the 4th, featured the Fantasy Girls Cabaret and DJ Ed Wood. DJ Sindel follows for Zion After Hours, the event Young hosted for years at other venues before Future. So that's cool. You know, I don't really go out to bars anymore, but it might be kind of cool. We need a big dance bar in this town after the last one closed, and now I'm blocking on the name. It's where the Chamber used to be. Why can't I remember the name of that one? Y'all are all screaming about it over the radio, at the radio while I'm talking. But anyway, whatever. So we got a new gay bar. That's cool. All right. What else do we have here? Okay, so this is meant to be a warning to those of you that are using apps to meet people, Grindr in particular. So this happened last week. A man in Dallas, Texas, has pleaded guilty to federal hate crime charges in connection with a 2017 scheme to target queer men on the Grindr app, rob and assault them. So this was actually on the news there, and this is in San Antonio. 22-year-old Daniel Jenkins pled guilty to 5 counts, including hate crime and hate crime conspiracy. Jenkins became the 4th man to plead in connection with the crime. His accomplices, Michael Atkinson, Daryl Henry, and Pablo Cenaros, all pled guilty in 2019. They face sentencing this June, so this month, while a court will sentence Jenkins in October. These defendants brutalized victims, singling them out due to their sexual orientation, acting U.S. Attorney Prerek Shah said in a statement, "We cannot allow this sort of violence to fester unchecked." In 2017, so this is what happened, Jenkins and his accomplices, plotted together to lure men using a fake profile on Grindr. When the victims would arrive, the men would pistol whip, beat, and rob the men while shouting homophobic slurs. At least 2 victims reported getting urinated on and having feces smeared on them, while another reported being sexually assaulted. The case in question is just one of a number of incidents assailants using dating apps to target LGBTQ men. Last year, a man in Louisiana targeted an 18-year-old for torture and murder. And in 2020, a similar scheme occurred in New York, where a man used Grindr to target and lure his victims for robbery. So this is happening all over the country. This kind of stuff can and does happen in Georgia. So I am hoping that you guys that are on Grindr looking for hookups or some of the other apps will be very careful before you actually meet these people in person. So that's really, really sad. All right. Texas elects its first black out man to office. This is Jalen McGee Rodriguez. Let's see here. So this is, all right. So this, Jalen McGee Rodriguez has been elected as a councilman in District 2. This is in San Antonio, Texas. He is believed to be the first Black and out gay man to win political office in the state. And that's what makes this newsworthy. So Texas, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of Californians that are moving to Texas, which I think will only hasten the purpling of that state. Texans like to brag that Californians can't stand the tax situation in California, so they're moving to Texas, but we'll see how that ultimately affects the political climate there. But I think that this is really cool. The city runoff election was held this past Saturday, so this was a week ago Saturday, and McGee Rodriguez convincingly beat the incumbent Jada Andrew Sullivan, taking 63% of the vote to Andrew Sullivan's 37. A lot of people said that District 2 wouldn't be ready for a candidate like me. Again, this is in San Antonio, which is a very artsy town, so it's probably somewhat liberal. McGee said he's 26 years old. People didn't think the district would be ready for a young gay candidate. Is Texas ready for a young gay Black male to be elected anywhere into my position? Well, apparently it wasn't San Antonio. I think what we have proved and what the community proved is that everyone deserves representation. And if you have the right motives, if you have the right passions, and if you're a good listener, the people will trust that. Again, Jaylene McKee Rodriguez is 26. He's worked for the past 3 years as a math teacher at James Madison High School, and he also runs a website where he shares learning resources for students. The website is theloserteacher.com. He's also an LGBTQ activist and a former board member of Stonewall Democrats for San Antonio. For 6 months in 2019, he also worked as a communications director for the women for the woman that he beat on Saturday. Oh, wow. So this was, this was actually his boss that he beat. That's hilarious. McGee Rodriguez resigned his staff position in late 2019 in Andrew Sullivan's office because of retaliation he says he faced after telling the councilwoman. Oh, so he used to work for her. She was the councilwoman. Then he got rid of, then he quit and ran against her and won. Wow. He told the councilwoman about issues with another staff member's treatment toward him as an openly gay man and the way he dressed and didn't like the response from the councilman. So quit his job and ran and beat her. That's crazy. That's wonderful. I think that's awesome. All right. And one more, and this is something that I'd really like to get this person on the show. So moving to Massachusetts. So we have a local Republican. So this is a Republican gay man. He's a politician in Massachusetts. And let's see what he does here. He has actually, he is part of the Massachusetts Republican State Committee, and he is currently running for the 2nd Congressional District. So he's running for state Congress there, it looks like there. But anyway, gay Republican, okay, and here's what's happened to him. So this local Republican, his name is Jeffrey Souza Paquette. I'm just going to call him Jeffrey. Jeffrey Souza could hardly believe it when one of his Republican colleagues launched a homophobic smear campaign against him and tried to have him primaried. Okay, so again, Jeffrey is a openly gay Trump supporting member, which is, that's one of the reasons why I want him on the show. I don't know how you do that. But anyway, he's gay. He's a Republican. He's a Trump supporter. But he's also a member of the Massachusetts Republican State Committee and is currently running for Congress there. But when Debbie Martell, a Republican state committee woman, another one, got wind of the fact that he and his husband, Julian, were the fathers of not one, but two adopted children. She was, as she quoted, sickened by this news, sickened by that fact. And there's an email saying that she is just sickened by the fact that a member of her own Republican Party is a homosexual. In the email, so this is through emails, she is saying, God willing, that somebody, anybody, will primary Sosa Paquette in his bid for Congress to save them from his life of sin. After all, I hear he's a married homosexual man, and that sickens me that he adopted his children. As a proper Republican, I must stand up and do my part to say this is unacceptable, Sosa Paquette tells local media. But when he reached out to the state party's chairman for support, the chairman's name is Jen Lyons, Lyons wouldn't intervene. Lyons said that he was not going to get involved in inter-party politics. So here we have two Republican members of the state Republican committee. One of them is bashing, gay bashing the other one, and the Republican Party chair does not want to get involved and so has nothing to say on the matter. Sosa says, you're the chairman of the Massachusetts GOP. Aren't you supposed to be running the party? But apparently this person, Lyons, doesn't want to get involved, so it's pretty sad. Sosa Paquette went to vice chair and COVID-denying anti-masker Tom Mountain, who says he called Martel and asked her to resign. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Let's see. So it looks like the vice chairman seems to have done something about it. So that's good. But I just really am interested. I don't understand how you can be a member of a party where there's a pretty sizable group of people these days in that party that basically hate you, that don't think that you need to be able to do the same things that straight people do. They're anti gay marriage. They're anti gay adoption. They're anti gay rights. And yet you're on the same, this man is on the same committee with some of these people. It's just shocking. I don't know how you're a Republican and at the same time be gay. It's very strange. All right. And then finally, and this is a piece of bad news, the Pentagon is keeping its ban on pride flags at its installations. So the Pentagon confirmed Friday that it will not allow rainbow pride flags to fly at military facilities in celebration of Pride Month. This falls in line with the Pentagon's 2020 decision under the Trump administration to permit only certain flags at Department of Defense installations. Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby told reporters that the Department of Defense chose not to make an exception to the existing flag policy after careful consideration. Along with the American flag, the current policy implemented under the Trump administration authorizes flags representing states and U.S. territories, military services, prisoners of war, and missing in action, national flags of U.S. allies, and a handful of others. So basically, the Trump administration nixed the idea of putting of having a gay flag up in any of the foreign installations around the globe for Gay Pride Month. And the Trump administration did this, and it looks like the Obama administration is going to keep this in play. This is in no way reflects any lack of respect or admiration for the LGBTQ plus community personnel in and out of uniform who serve in this department. We are proud of them. That from John Curry, the Pentagon spokesperson. So sad news, but I don't know. I guess they're just trying to be fair to all sides. And I don't know. We'll just leave it with we'll leave it at that. And with that, that is the end of News of the Queer. And when we come back, It's time to take a trip around the world. We will be right back.
You are listening to WRFG Atlanta. WRFG provides a voice for those who have been traditionally denied access to broadcast media through a broad base of community elements to guarantee that access. In the utilization of the facilities and in its programs, the following communities will receive first priority. Those who continue to be denied free and open access to broadcast media, and those who suffer oppression or exploitation based upon class, race, sex, age, creed, sexual orientation, disability, or immigrant status.
To learn how you can support WRFG's mission, please go to WRFG.org.
All right. And welcome back to Alternative Perspectives on WRFG Atlanta 89.3 FM. This is Atlanta's only radio hour devoted exclusively to issues affecting Atlanta's queer community. I'm your host, Greg Bossen, and thank you so much. Welcome back. So, as I said in the opening, we don't spend enough time talking about news around the world. And by the way, that song was called Around the World by Daft Punk, for those of you that want to know. I think it was released in 1993, actually. Pretty old song, but maybe it was redone in 2005. Anyway, I don't know. The important thing is that what we're going to do now is we are going to take a trip around the world. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover, I think, 10 different countries here, maybe 11, and see what's going on in each country news-wise as it relates to the queer community. So, and I'm going to start close to home, and that is Mexico. And then I'll work my way east. And we'll actually end all the way in the Cook Islands. So this is kind of cool. So anyway, we will start with Mexico. And for each country, I'm just going to let you know where they are with gay rights. So Mexico is doing well with gay rights. We're going to start with Mexico. First of all, it is legal to be gay in Mexico, which is good. If you don't know this, there are 69, I believe, countries where it is completely illegal to be gay. So, and half of those are in Africa. But anyway, so Mexico is not one of them. It is legal to be gay in Mexico, and you can also get married if you're gay in Mexico. There's 20 countries that have legalized it through legislation, seven countries through court decisions, and two more countries after the courts mandated them to do so. So anyway, so that's a total of, looks like 29 countries where you can get married if you're gay. But anyway, so, and Mexico is one of them. So here's the latest news, and this happened just a week ago. For years, transgender activist Rochelle Terranova has protested in the streets and knocked on the doors of Mexico's Congress to make the demands for the country's LGBTQ community known. Now, thanks to her efforts and an electoral rule change, Terranova, who is trans, is actually running for Congress in a first for Mexico. Terranova will be one of more than 100 of Mexico's LGBTQ community participating in the midterm elections, and that will fill 500 seats in the lower chamber of Congress. Now, this election may have just happened, actually, as well as state, local, and state and local posts across the country. It is the largest number of LGBTQ candidates in Mexico's history, according to Carla Humphrey, an official with the National Electoral Institute. The likelihood of success of the candidates for some of the more than 20,000 posts in play remains unknown, but activists, analysts, and members of the gay community say the sheer number of candidates is a victory. So that is awesome. So good news for them. And I do want to see when that election was, which I should just look that up. If I had a helper, I could just tell you. Let's see when that was, because it may have already occurred. So this happened 2 days ago. This happened on Sunday. So it's interesting. I'm not sure what the results are. It's probably going to take a minute to find out what the results are of the election. So that's interesting. Anyway, that's cool. All right. So good for Mexico. So that's great. And now that's in Central America. So we're moving down to South America to Chile. So Chile, that it is legal to be gay in Chile. However, it is not legal to be married in Chile. So, but we do have some movement in the right direction in Chile. And for those of you that don't know, Chile is in South America, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it is the strip of South America. Yes, on the east, on the west coast, that goes all the way down. They have the whole coast, and then Argentina is the rest of the is on their east side, but they're along the west coast. Chile is anyway, and I think Iguazu, the big waterfall, maybe. I think it's in Chile. I'm not sure about that. All right. Anyway, so there's a movement here towards positive action. Again, it's legal to be gay, but not legal to be married. Okay. However, that may be changing. So Chilean President Sebastian Piñera, who's been the president since 2018, said last week that he would seek to expedite a same-sex marriage bill that has been languishing in the historically conservative South American nation for years. Chile's LGBTQ community has long pushed for the legislation, but the country's ruling conservative coalition has until now been slow to advance the bill to Congress. "I think the time for equal marriage has come in our country," the president said during his annual address to lawmakers. "All people, regardless of their sexual orientation, will be able to live, love, and form a family with all the protection and dignity they need and deserve. The bill, if passed, would cement an increasingly progressive tack in Chile." So until recently, it has been dominated by a conservative Catholic culture, but that's changing. So good for Chile. So both Mexico and Chile looking good. So, you know, Europe is a fairly liberal place these days. But in our next little trip around the world, I thought I would take us to the Vatican, which is part of Italy. But it's its own country. I don't know that it's technically a country, but they have a seat at the United Nations. They're a non-voting member, so it's their own separately controlled government. And it is legal. There's no laws against being gay, but there certainly are laws against doing something about it if you are Catholic. So, and certainly marriage is not legal. So the news here is that hundreds of Catholics stepped forward, and this was just a couple, 3 days ago, stepped forward to bless LGBT plus people during a virtual service in response to the Vatican's ban on blessings for same-sex couples. The live-streamed event was hosted by Dignity USA, an organization that works to secure justice and equality for LGBT plus people in the Catholic Church, and was run in conjunction with 19 other groups. Kicking off Pride Month, hundreds of Catholics offered powerful blessings of LGBT people plus LGBT plus people and to same-sex couples, including Miguel Diaz, a former U.S. ambassador to the Holy See, former Irish President Mary McClassy, and John Stowe, a Catholic bishop from Kentucky. The powerful half-hour event began with activist Melly Barber thanking the congregation for the doctrine of faith, for drawing attention to the mistreatment of LGBT plus Catholics by issuing its ban on blessings for the same-sex people. We've heard from many Catholics in our town halls on social media and through other channels that they disagreed with the Vatican, Barber said. We thought we'd offer a way for people to come together in celebration of the inclusive church and the world we are all working to build. So good for them. I think that that's great that they're making movement there, but you know, the church is obviously going to be very, very slow in its movement, the official but narrative on it. But I mean, I know tons of Catholics that are gay. One of my best friends is a gay Catholic. So what are you going to do? And we certainly know there are a lot of gay priests, but that's a completely different show. All right. So we are going to, that's all we're going to do in Europe. And I'm going to move on to Africa. Now, as I said before, Africa is not the best place to be gay in this world. And there are half of the countries that make being gay illegal are in Africa. All right. So Africa's not the greatest place to be gay. And it's interesting because really it was colonial rule that started this anti-LGBT sentiment in Africa when they were taken over by Britain and the other colonies. One of the things that was imposed was laws against being gay. Well, of course, now fine to be gay in Europe, but not so much in Africa, as these countries have clung to these colonial ideas that being gay is not cool. So Namibia is the first country that I wanted to cover. And Namibia is in the south. It's supposed to be beautiful, actually, but it's on the southwestern side of Africa. And it is certainly not legal to get married there. And it is also outlawed. I believe it's outlawed. Yes, it is. It's outlawed. All right. So two couples, this is the news, two couples challenging the government's refusal to recognize same-sex marriages concluded outside of Namibia are now waiting for three judges to announce their decision following a combined hearing of their cases in the Windhoek High Court yesterday. So what we have here is two different couples, one of which is a Namibian citizen and one of which is not, in each of the couples. So like it's two couples where one of the couple is a citizen of Namibia and has gotten married outside the country to someone who is not a citizen of Namibia because they could get married in that other country where it is legal. And now they're saying, well, since we have been married in another country that considers it legal, we should be able to have our marriage recognized in Namibia. So these two people, this is an interesting way to try and recognize same-sex marriages. They're not trying to make it legal in the country itself per se. They're trying to make it Namibia, they're trying to force Namibia to recognize same-sex marriages that were occurring in another country. So that's interesting. So let's see. So the judges reserved their judgment, there's three of them, after oral arguments on two cases in which the government is being sued to have same-sex marriages concluded in other countries recognized in Namibia. Let's see. One of the judges, Prince Lu, postponed the delivery of the court's judgment until January 20th of next year, but added that the decision could be announced before then if it is available earlier. If both In both matters, the court is being asked to declare that the marriage between a Namibian citizen and a non-Namibian spouse of the same sex should be recognized in Namibia, something that the Ministry of Home Affairs, Immigration, Safety, and Security has so far refused to do. I'm assuming that marriages in other countries are recognized in Namibia. So I assume that's what they're hanging their hat on, because it's a marriage that was legal in another country. So we'll see what happens with Namibia there. I doubt you'll get very far, but we'll see. So that is Southwest Africa. So let's move on to Ghana, which is also in the West, but further north. I should tell you, first of all, Ghana is a horrible place to be gay. You definitely cannot get married there. And the laws are quite horrible there when it comes to being gay. We've talked about this before. So as a matter of fact, let me look that up for you now real quick and tell you what the penalty is in Ghana for being gay. It may be death. Let's see what it is here. I think I got in trouble for saying something bad about Ghana in another show. But the penalty is 3 years, so you can be thrown in jail for 3 years. It doesn't look like you can be killed, so that's good. All right. Anyway, let's see. So here's the news. Ghanaian, wild that that's a word, court on Friday delayed its ruling on the bail application of 21 lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender activists, detained 2 weeks ago for allegedly unlawfully gathering, which rights groups deny. The delay will mean the group will have to spend at least 4 more days in detention. LGBT plus people face widespread persecution in the West African nation, where gay sex is punishable with up to 3 years of imprisonment. Community members have reported a crackdown by authorities and increased abuse by the public in recent months. The 16 women and 5 men were arrested on May 20th at a hotel, police said in a statement, alleging the group had gathered illegally. It also said the group was advocating LGBT plus activities with books and flyers with titles including Coming Out and All About Trans. Promoting gay rights is not illegal in Ghana, and LGBT plus rights Ghana said the arrests were unlawful. The organization said the activists had met for a workshop on how to document and report human rights violations. So here's a lawyer for the defendants. We cannot condone a situation where people attend a workshop on rights only to be arrested and have those very human rights that they are learning about be trampled on. A judge in the District Court of Ho said the court would consider the bail application carefully and that there would be a ruling on whether or not to grant the bail on June 8th. But they're delaying the ruling, which basically ends up meaning these people end up in jail more than they need to be. So a recent crackdown in February in Ghana against LGBT plus rights opened. This was right after the country opened its first LGBT community center, and it was forced to close after 3 weeks after an uproar from church groups, politicians, and anti-gay rights organizations. Ghana's president, Nana Akufo-Addo, who was reelected in December for another 5-year term, vowed during a church ceremony in February that same-sex marriage will never be legalized during his time in office. So there you go with Ghana. And then in the eastern part of Africa, again, not a great place to be gay in Africa, unless you're in South Africa. But anyway, the country of South Africa. So anyway, Uganda. This is in East Africa. No, you cannot get married in Uganda. And yes, it is illegal to be gay in Uganda. Maybe Uganda's the one where, where you might be killed. they're trying. I think that they, All right. Well, I'll go on here. I have to see what the actual laws are, and I'll get to that in a second. But let me tell you what's going on in Uganda. A court in Uganda granted bail, so that's good, on Friday for 39 people, most of them gay, held for days after what police said was a raid on a same-sex wedding that violated coronavirus rules, but which a rights group described as basically a roundup at an LGBT shelter. Frank Mogisha, executive director of rights group Sexual Minorities Uganda, stated that the men were subjected to rectal examinations, and it was basically a witch hunt against the LGBT community. A police spokeswoman spokesperson denied that the arrests were linked to the sexuality of the people who were detained or that any of them had been subjected to rectal exams. So hopefully that didn't actually happen, but sounds like it did. So, and with that, I think we're going to take a break here, and that was it for Africa, and we'll continue our trek around the world. We will be right back.
It's a world of laughter, a world of tears. It's a world of hopes and a world of fears. There's so much that we share, and it's time we're aware. It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all.
And now a message from our public affairs bulletin board. Food for Life is an emergency COVID relief program to deliver groceries to the door of anyone in the Atlanta area who needs them. Volunteers are properly vetted to ensure safety. The project is a mutual aid effort organized and run entirely by regular people volunteering their time, and there is a serious need for more volunteers. Help includes everyday packing of grocery boxes and delivering them. There are also many volunteer opportunities that can be done entirely from home, including answering phone calls and coordinating volunteers to drive. Anyone can sign up to receive groceries or to volunteer at atlsurvival.org/food.
It's your turn!
All right. I don't know if you guys know that song or not, but that is Havana Gila. I played it because in our trip around the world, looking at what's going on for the gays, for us around the world, our next stop is going to be Israel and Jerusalem in particular. Welcome back. You are listening to WRFG Atlanta 89.3 FM. This is Alternative Perspectives, Atlanta's only queer radio hour. I'm your host, Greg Boston, and we are taking a trek around the world. And we have moved our way in looking at news around the world and what the laws are around the world as it relates to the LGBTQ plus community. So we started in Mexico and went down to Chile and worked our way. We went by the Vatican and then spent a little bit of time in Africa. And now it is on to Israel. All right. Particularly in Jerusalem. Now, it actually is not illegal to be gay in Israel, but it is not legal to be married in Israel, not at this point. So, Israel has a fairly conservative leadership, as you know, these days, although it looks like that might be changing. The people in Jerusalem, and this is kind of a big deal because Tel Aviv, which is the capital of Israel, it's a fairly liberal city, but not Jerusalem. But thousands of people marched through Jerusalem last Thursday in an annual pride parade celebrating LGBTQ rights in a conservative city amid heavy police security. Pride events in Jerusalem, which is home to a large ultra-Orthodox Jewish community, big surprise, tend to be less raucous than those in more liberal Tel Aviv. A radical ultra-Orthodox Jew actually stabbed a 16-year-old girl to death at a Pride event 6 years ago in 2015. So an attack that was condemned across the political spectrum Only a few dozen people turned out to protest the parade this year, and they were largely drowned out by the blaring music. I think we are getting better and better, said one of the marchers, who acknowledged that more needs to be done. It is very important to come to parades like this, not only to party, but also to protest for our rights. All right. So there we are with Israel. And now we're going to continue our trek east and to Russia, where it is not technically illegal to be gay, but it is certainly not a fun place to be gay, and you certainly can't get married. So particularly in St. Petersburg is where we're going to be talking. As you know, Putin has really come down on the queer community saying or doing anything related to Pride. But anyway, St. Petersburg Central District Prosecutor's Office, they have actually, this is a win for us, have withdrawn a claim seeking to block the website of the advocacy group Russian LGBT Network. They originally were trying to shut this network down, but due to a lack of evidence of LGBT propaganda on the platform, which propaganda has been made illegal, the prosecution failed to attach any documents to the claim confirming the presence of propaganda. And so the LGBT network's legal representatives provided an expert opinion confirming that all of the website's content has the required age disclaimers. The lawyer recalled that the St. Petersburg court is still considering two other claims filed by prosecutors seeking to block the advocacy group's pages on social networks, Facebook, and I don't know how to say that, VKontakte. I don't know. It must be a social media site in Russia. According to Balik, these proceedings may take a long time. So minor win, but a win nonetheless. So if you get a chance, go to their website here, Russia LGBT Network, and show them the love. All right, moving on. So we're going to continue east. Next stop is Bangladesh. Which used to be called Eastern Pakistan, by the way. And I love Bangladeshi food, by the way. All right. So this is kind of trippy. It is illegal to be gay, I believe, in Bangladesh. I'm pretty sure. I should check to see that. I definitely know that you cannot get married in Bangladesh. So... let's see. Let me just check that again to make sure that you can be gay in Bangladesh. Or actually, no, that it is illegal. It is illegal to be gay in Bangladesh. I remember that now. All right. So not exactly something that we want, but it's a very conservative country. Let me make sure that I'm right on that. I'm still concerned about it. Let me see here. Sorry about this. In Bangladesh. I'm Googling it, folks. I need a helper. I need a personal assistant. I've been saying that for years. Anyway, let's see. The rights are harshly suppressed. And yes, it is illegal. That's what I thought. All right. Anyway, but moving on. This is what makes it so wild. So even though it's illegal to be gay or have any sort of gay sex and certainly not legal to be married, nonetheless, Bangladesh has declared a tax rebate for companies hiring transgender individuals to boost the government's social inclusion efforts for the marginalized groups in the Muslim majority South Asian country, which I just think is amazing. Bangladesh has more than 200,000 transgender people, most of whom face discrimination and social ostracization, according to independent experts. The government thinks there's 10,000 transgender, but there's probably more like 200,000. Trans people in Bangladesh often resort to begging and sex trade in order to survive, and most are forced to flee their homes due to bullying and harassment. The minister of the government said the companies would enjoy a 5% tax rebate or a refund of 75% of trans employees' salaries if 10% of their total workforce or 100 workers were of the so-called third gender. Bangladesh began allowing trans people known as Hijra, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, to legally registered as third gender in 2013 and has provided support to the group since then. So that's interesting. Okay. I would assume that the love for the trans has to do with how non-gender people have been treated. I imagine that there's probably parts of the community where they are well respected. So that's actually amazing in Bangladesh. All right. So just a few more minutes left. We're going to move to Japan. Japan, where you cannot get married, but it is legal to be gay in Japan. So Japanese sexual minority groups and supporters have staged a rally outside Tokyo's iconic Shibuya station on Sunday, calling for equal rights and public support for enacting a long-sought equality law. And they're trying to do this right before the Olympics comes to them, which, of course, the Olympics is coming up very, very soon in Japan. Around 100 people wearing rainbow face masks dance and held banners with slogans in Japanese and English, such as Equality Now. Okay, but don't know that much is going to happen from that, but they're pushing for it. All right, two more, and then we'll end. So Sydney, so Australia is actually a really good place to be gay. Fairly liberal country. It is legal and you can marry. A pair of transphobic law reforms proposed by One Nation's Mark Latham have made their way up to Parliament, and community groups are amping up their rallies for the bills to be killed. So there's two anti-trans bills. So on Saturday, last Saturday, hundreds of protesters gathered outside the town hall of Sydney to make their opposition heard and raise awareness about the threat the changes pose to the trans and gender diverse community. Okay. So let's see what the laws are. So there's two. One of them is called a parental rights bill, which tries to ban the teaching of gender fluidity in all schools in the state. And if a teacher attempts to do so, the teacher can be dismissed or banned from teaching, explained the Sydney barrister David Burney, a member of the committee of the NSW Council for Civil Liberties. You hear a lot, often from people like Latham, about cancel culture. Well, this is the ultimate in censorship. So, you know, whether you like it or not, gender fluidity exists. If you want to hide it from kids, I guess you can hide it from kids, but it's there. All right. Let's see. And what was the other rule? Okay. There's a religious freedom amendment as well that would give schools, charities, private businesses a right to discriminate against LGBTQI people based on a religious belief. So it's really sad that a religion would teach you to discriminate against people. But all right. And then finally, all the way to continuing east, all the way to the east of New Zealand. I think it's the east of New Zealand. It's off of the coast of New Zealand anyway, is Cook Islands. Same-sex rights groups are expressing guarded optimism after the government disclosed that work is underway to ensure new criminal legislation will not contain clauses that discriminate against a Cook Island resident. The current law says that the offense of indecent acts between males is punishable by up to 5 years in prison. So hopefully they're changing that. All right. And with that, we are actually done. Thank you so much for listening. Our trip around the world went really quick. And please join us next week. because if all goes well, I will be speaking to a thruple. Talk to you next week. See you later.